welcome to this Touch podcast activity, which has been recorded for Touch Neurology. In this series of podcasts, a multidisciplinary team of specialists, plus a former care partner, share their perspectives on the impact and behavioural symptoms of agitation in Alzheimer's dementia, including discussion on diagnosis criteria and best practice management. This activity is funded by an independent medical education grant from Lundbeck. This activity is jointly provided by USF Health and Touch IME in collaboration with the Gerontological Society of America, GSA. In this podcast, a geriatric psychiatrist and a cognitive neurologist review the behavioural symptoms of agitation in Alzheimer's dementia and hear from a former care partner on how agitation impacts not only the person living with dementia, but everyone around them.
Hello and welcome. Today in this section, my colleagues and I will be discussing the prevalence and impact of agitation in Alzheimer's dementia. I'm Dr. George Grossberg. I'm a geriatric psychiatrist at St. Louis University School of Medicine, St. Louis, Missouri, in the United States. To discuss this important topic, I'm extremely happy to be joined by my friend and colleague, Dr. Ali Atri, who is a cognitive neurologist at Banner & Son Health Research Institute, also in the U.S. So welcome, Ali.
Thank you, George. Good to be here.
Nice to be with you. And Dr. Bonnie Berman, who's a former care partner for her mother, who was living with dementia, I believe, of the Alzheimer's type, and was also president of the Ohio Council for Cognitive Health. Again, welcome, Bonnie. It's great to have you.
Thank you for having me, George.
All right. So we're going to be talking about this broad topic, recognizing agitation and recognizing that it's a very common kind of neuropsychiatric symptom in Alzheimer's dementia. And we're going to talk about the impact, not just on the patient, but also on care partners like Bonnie. And, you know, Bonnie, I know that you were a care partner for quite some time for your mom, who suffered from Alzheimer's dementia, and can, in a firsthand kind of fashion, talk about the impact of agitation on you as a care partner. But before we do that, I think it's important for all of us to recognize just how common agitation is against a background of Alzheimer's dementia. Now, depending on studies that we look at, Ali, I know you've done a lot of work in this area as well, maybe up to 80% of individuals sometime during the course of the disease may suffer from what I've called the spectrum of agitated behaviors, everything from mild agitation or irritability to even overtly aggressive behavior. I wonder if you could maybe elaborate a bit on the prevalence and severity and just kind of the notion of how common this is and when we see agitation against a background of Alzheimer's dementia.
Yeah, thanks, George. It's a very distressing problem. As you mentioned, I'm a cognitive neurologist. I believe that, you know, there's different pillars: cognition, function, behavior, and, you know, how things are affecting your environment. And of those, I really do think behavior is the most important. You can support the others, but if you have agitation, aggression, irritability, it becomes very difficult to provide that support. And as you mentioned, it really is a spectrum. So oftentimes early on, it's not as noticeable. Maybe it comes out as irritability or some verbal aggression. But over time, it increases. So in the mild cognitive impairment stages, of this spectrum, studies show, up to 60% or more individuals may have, some aspects of an agitation spectrum. And as the clinical condition progresses along with the disease in the brain, this increases. So really towards, the moderate and moderate to severe stages, this number goes up to 80% or more. And, it's the different domains that are also impacted. I know we can talk about those. It could come out physically, it could come out physically aggressively, it could come out as physically non-aggressively, It could be verbal, both aggressive and non-aggressive, and it could be manifest in motor activities. And understanding that early, so that you can mitigate these things and put in stop gaps and educate the family members, et cetera, is very, very important.
Yeah, so that's a great overview. And I guess one of the things our audience also wants to keep in mind is the impact of agitation, both on our healthcare system, with accelerated kind of disease progression, often leading to more emergency room visits, more doctor visits, more medications being tried, often at great cost, increased risk of ending up in a long-term care environment. But we also want to keep in mind not just the impact on the patient and on the healthcare system, but also the impact on the care partner. And Bonnie, I wonder if you might make some comments about kind of the impact of behaviors, particularly agitated behaviors, their impact on you as a previous care partner and having taken care of your mom with Alzheimer's dementia.
So George, thank you for asking about that. And I want to answer it from two perspectives. When Ali talked about behaviors, we also have to talk about the behavior of the care partner and that which the care partner may or may not be doing that is either escalating or could prevent the agitation. So our toolbox is pretty big in that regard. As far as the impact on the care partner, I'm 70 years old. I've lived a really great life. If there's one thing I could go back and do, it would be to change my behavior because of what I did to get my mother more agitated. And so I see it both ways, and my life changed dramatically. And dementia and Alzheimer's, specifically Alzheimer's dementia, they don't just impact the individual. They impact everyone who is a care partner. And I'd also like to add that care partner is not only the person who is caring for the person. We're talking about neighbors. We're talking about friends. We all have a role in helping somebody that is living with Alzheimer's have the best life possible and reduce their agitation.
Yeah, those are some wonderful insights. And I guess also we want to keep in mind, as you talk, Bonnie, about care partners, a couple of points. One is you being a daughter-in-law, not uncommon for the daughter or even the daughter-in-law, and at least in our culture, for women to be the primary care partner. We also want to focus on the professional care partners, whether it's nurses or nurses' aides and others that work in the long-term care environment, that it's very, very stressful for them to take care of dementia patients, particularly with agitated behaviors. It's one of the leading causes of burnout, one of the leading causes of turnover in the long-term care environment. So it really, really takes its toll. Now, I want to kind of focus also on, Ali, as we talk about all of us as professionals that kind of diagnose and try to manage agitation, how you kind of see agitated behaviors presenting in your practice, and what are your kind of targets for intervention?
So thank you, George. Let me riff a little bit on what Bonnie said and what you're saying, and then I'll get to that. The impact is absolutely huge. It affects outcomes. There's psychic pain in the patient. People end up in nursing homes and facilities quicker and have worse outcomes because of this. And because of the agitated behaviors, you can't provide the care that the patient needs, including medical care. So it turns out that if you can't give people their medications in the right way, et cetera, their medical conditions then decompensate and they end up in the hospital, and then you have the spiral of difficulties. But as far as the presentations are, as you mentioned, a spectrum. So you can have everything from physical behaviors that early on can be non-aggressive. As early on as having pacing, wandering, hoarding, refusing medications, tapping, humming, and again, those are not things that care partners recognize necessarily. They may be disturbing, but they don't necessarily recognize that this is part of the spectrum. Well, things when it gets verbal behaviors, they could be non-aggressive. They could be things like repetitive speech. Funny noises. But then verbally, they can become aggressive. So swearing, cursing, yelling, screaming. Changes in energy, volatility, panicking. Episodes of crying suddenly. So this volatility. And then, of course, I think the physically aggressive behaviors, those are the things that suddenly become a crisis. And that's what we want to really also avoid, which is, when people are being pushed, hit, punched, throwing things around. You can see this whole spectrum and incredibly distressing.
Yeah, thank you for sharing that. And again, kind of a reminder to all of us. And I know, Bonnie, you don't need any reminders because you lived through this with your mother-in-law. But reminder to all of us that even though families do an outstanding job in caring for their loved one with Alzheimer's dementia or dementias in general, it's often these problem behaviors that cause them to finally throw the towel in and really say, I just can't do it anymore. I need to be thinking about a memory care unit or about a long-term care facility. Any final thoughts, Bonnie?
Well, I would add to that is why the whole practice of person-centered care for people living with Alzheimer's is so very important, because we need both care partners in more of a care community, and then family members and loved ones need to understand what matters most to that individual, what are they capable of doing, and to do what we can, all of us together, to ensure that we are creating the best life possible and minimizing the agitation where we can.
That's a perfect way for us to end our segment. Thank you very much. Thank you, Ellie. Thank you, Bonnie. Look forward to seeing you and working with you in the future.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to this Touch podcast. You can access more content on this topic on Touch Neurology at www.touchneurology.com. Don't forget there are 4 other chapters in this series, so please listen in for further insights from the multidisciplinary team.